You are hearing with Hedley. That is what you're doing. You're hearing with Hedley. Here on Radio 4.
Thank you very much indeed. Why are these three seats reserved? They seem to be the best seats and there's nobody sitting in them, which seems to be wrong. Why is that? I just want to sort that out, just out of interest. Is it for latecomers? Is that why?
Sponsors probably.
Ah. There you go. I'm going to read some poems from this book here, Love Cuts, to begin with. And the first one is called A Somewhat Absent-Mindedly Attempt to Be Politically Correct. Someone I don't know that well tells me they have a little boy. Oh yes, I inquire, and how old is he or she? Utterly true, I said that. Okay. Swimming channels. To satisfy the preference for tailor-made programming, there will eventually be so much telly on TV that it will work out at one channel per person, which won't help with conversing about the shared experience of what was on the box last night. Not quite so good, the ending of that one. The old lady loves. Grandma loves her daughters and grandma loves to dance. Grandma will dance anywhere if given half the chance, but the chances come in quarters. Autumn verses. Autumn is strange stuff. Anagram of Aunt Mew, but thank you. But not of nostalgia. Scarves come out, clocks go back, faulty or otherwise. Pumpkins enjoy brief popularity. My father shows his teeth. One morning, my dad asked me to comb my hair before leaving home for school, and I said no. Then quickly picked up my blazer and exited the bungalow. Halfway up the road, I heard running feet behind me. I turned to find my father chasing me with the comb and a very red face. I sped off, sure that his older frame would lose in a race, but his pace was made faster by his need to show me who the master was. And at the top of the street, he stopped me, stretching and grasping my collar and spinning me hard against the wall. For a while, we stood together, gasping. Quietly, he offered me the comb, telling me that if I didn't tidy my hair, he'd come down the school and do it for me in front of my friends. I didn't actually have any friends, but thought it best to smarten myself up anyway. This is called Skip, and again, it's about me dad. My dad escorted me to the hut the day I went along to join the Cub Scouts. And after I had joined in some of the games, Skip took us to one side, asked us both our names, then asked me if I was enjoying myself. And when I said that I was, he told me that being a Cub Scout was about having fun, but it was also about duty, decency, and paying your subscriptions. And I looked at my dad because he was listening like a little boy. Looking back, I think Skip was like the father my father never had, the protector, the advisor, the authority above. My dad was like a little lad with the gift of love. He was in the grip of Skip. And when he got home, he stated that we had been in the presence of a great man, and I felt sad that the parent is only expected to attend on the recruit's first visit. And I said, I bet you wish you could go again yourself, Dad. And my dad said that I had a cheek and that he would be going along every week. is called Sandman. The Sandman slips through his own fingers. The Sandman's home is his sandcastle. The Sandman times his eggs to perfection. The Sandman is an island. The Sandman avoids beach holidays. I'll say this a bit over here because you lot are missing me when I'm standing there, aren't you? But you could, if you want to, come and take these three seats. Because most of the time, I'm going to stand here. So if you're behind that pillar, which obviously why it's called the pillar room, now you're realising why, then the three, anybody who's behind that pillar could come and sit here. And maybe that's why, because they don't know where the performer is going to stand, and so they don't know who is going to be behind the pillar, and then they can come and sit there. So if any of you people would like to come and sit there, please do. If you feel a bit embarrassed because you think I'm going to embarrass you by having you sit there. And perhaps you think that, or perhaps the organisers know that I always embarrass the people on my left-hand side at the front row, and so they put reserve, so nobody sits there, so there's nobody for me to embarrass. But there's always you. Anyway. This is called Edward I. One day, Miss brought in a big box of books and said that we could choose one each to take home, but she wanted us to do the choosing in an orderly fashion. Right, I want those at the front to come out and choose first, she said, and all of us in the front row got up, and to everyone's surprise, Eddie got up as well, even though he was in the second row. And Miss said, "Where are you going, Edward?" And Edward explained that it is the same as when you talk about the front of the desk. There is the very narrow bit beyond the groove where you put your pencils, which is the exact front, but for practical purposes, because there are no words for the bits in between, the front actually extends right back as far as the middle. This is called The Dog and the Hogmanay Hotel. It was a hotel up in Scotland with an English maitre d' and some not-so-Scottish customs. It was pointed out to me like the haggis hurling contest on a wet and windy morn. Every guest was gathered out of interest on the lawn. There was little doggy Hamish who was barking long and loud, excited at the prospect of the haggis hurling I ruined that one. Okay. See, sometimes you've got to go with it. Sometimes a poem just does not want to be read. Page number?
12.
12. You've got to be quick in poetry. 12, I heard first. John Hegarty's Cap. One day I came home from school and my mum said, "That cap's not yours." And sure enough, it was not. It was John Hegarty's. A boy with a name like mine and a cap like mine. "You don't know where it's been," she said, throwing it onto the fire. Let's try 6, shall we? No, 6 is half of Eddie don't like furniture. See how it works, just read out then. Eddie always goes where the pushchairs go. No, right, isn't it? Do page 7. My sister loved animals. She was always taking the dog out and stroking it and the goldfish. My mum used to spend so long cleaning the mirror you could see her face in it, if you used your imagination. On the ward, it's true this. Once when I worked in a hospital, one boy chewed the wheels of another boy's wheelchair so badly that it rolled along very lumpily and had to be sent to the menders. True. Go and play in the middle. My mum used to watch out of the window these boys who played football on the green in front of our bungalow. She used to stand well back so she couldn't be seen, and when the ball hit the wall of our garden, she said to my dad, It's hit our wall again, Bob. Go out and tell them. And my dad would go out and tell them maybe 12 or 14 or 12 or 9 or 6 or 7 or 9 or 4 times in a day to go and play in the middle. And immediately he had told them my mum would be on the watch for the next Naimi Mokola and Nahoromala, licking the Mordor, and we used a strange lingo in our home. The next time he would need sending out, and sometimes it would be Gorma. Dad's dark glasses. Sometimes when my dad was watching the telly, he would fall asleep and my mum would shake him and say, go to bed, Bob, will you, rather than go to Bob bed, will you? Go to Bob bed. We had fun in our house. Go to bed. Go to Bob bed. Now you know why Eddie doesn't like furniture. Go to bed, Bob, will you, if you're knackered? And he would wake up and try to look alert, but one day he said the glare from the telly was hurting his eyes and he would need some dark glasses. And from that day on, you couldn't tell if he was asleep or watching the telly. And it all seemed so normal at the time. Bonfire feelings. In their mutual breath, in their startling desire, in their tongue-twisting antics, in their surge of unresisting, in their franticness for frolic, in their urge for middle merging, in their utterings of fever, in their butter-fingered fiddle with the fastenings, the priest reminds the newlyweds that a symbolic kiss is all that is required. Thank you very much. Very nice to come here and to enjoy it. It's nice because I usually do it in the night, and it's really nice to do it in the day in a room like this. You can see a bit of light, see trees out of there. Somebody was going to have a request. Did you have a request? Somebody said they wanted to ask for something.
I wondered if you could do that one where your dad's had half a lager.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're rather sported by doing the punchline, but never mind. I'll do it anyway. I'll do it anyway, because we want to wind things down now and get people out, so I'll do it anyway. Here we go. On the booze. My dad very rarely drank, but one time when he did, my mother blew her lid rather, and leaving the lather and the sink, she said, you stink of drink, you've tried to hide it with a peppermint, but I don't think it's done the job. Because you blinking stink, Bob. It's obnoxious. Let some air through. Open the windows, will you? And the door. He had had two halves of lager. 3 days before.
You've been here. Here on Radio 4, you've been listening to me, John Hegley. But now it's time to say goodnight.